The Anderson's Town News has done an interview with a prominent local priest, Father Patrick McCafferty, who's been on the news a number of times. He's a very confident speaker, Father McCafferty. And he says that politicians who supported changes to abortion laws are damning their souls and should be refused Holy Communion. They should be refused Holy Communion. And this hand in hand this week with the story of a headmaster at a school in Antrim saying it was a horrendous error of judgment for a teacher at the school to allow a Darkest Day display to be put up on a notice board. The Darkest Day, referring to the change in the law on abortion and equal marriage. Peter Linus is with the Evangelical Alliance. Peter, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Peter, you're writing about this in the paper today. I presume you'd be much closer to Father Patrick McCafferty and his opinion on the changes in the law than you would be to those who were lobbying for change.
Absolutely. Look, the majority of people in Northern Ireland didn't want these laws at this time. And the Darkest Day, just for complete clarity, is absolutely linked to the abortion law change, and only that, because the groups that started that hashtag are the pro-life groups. So it's not linked at all to the marriage. Of course, the two coincided in terms of the days they were passed. But the groups that started that campaign is expressly about that. And the reason is because, in their view, and I have great sympathy for this, and I largely agree with it, that is the day in which the protections for the unborn child radically changed, and that leads to very dark consequences in terms of the lives of the unborn. And so that's why it was a respectful way of saying we disagree with this. And a lot of people blacked out the kind of social media profiles and just simply put Darkest Day on it. And again, that's what happened in this school, and it's around freedom of expression. How do we dialogue and debate these issues in a healthy and respectful way? How do we communicate our views? And is there freedom to do that in the public space?
Is there any suggestion in what you're saying then, if the Darkest Day only refers to the change in abortion law, that the Evangelical Alliance accepts the change in equal marriage?
It's not about accept. So they're two different campaigns. They happen to be brought together in one piece of legislation in Westminster. We're very open in our position as Evangelical Alliance. We're campaigning or involved in about both those pieces of legislation, but we didn't start the Darkest Day hashtag. That came out of the pro-life groups exclusively. And the fact that pupil who wrote the letter that caused much of this stir, the former pupil from Dalriada, is part of the London Irish Abortion Rights Network. And that's, she has that on her social media feed. And she said, that network, were writing the letter to complain to Dalriada. So they were very well aware this was about abortion as well. So I think the bringing together of the two can be confusing, because then I can see why people might be more upset if that was seen to be talking about the change in marriage. I disagree with that, but I would not signify that. I wouldn't describe that as the Darkest Day, nor would anybody that I'm aware of. All the social media tags around that are to do with abortion. And I think it's useful to separate the two, and then we can have a much more civilized debate about what it looks like to have good relationships, good discussion in the public square.
Yeah, maybe it's important to point out, because this has been rumbling for most of the week, this issue from the school in Ballymoney, Dalriada, and it's in relation to a member of staff at the school putting up on the Christian Union notice board a reference to the Darkest Day, and that day was the day whenever abortion law changed and the rights of an equal marriage also changed. So I take your interpretation of what's meant by the Darkest Day, but two things happened on that particular day, and a lot of people feel it to be anything but dark. You say in your article, Peter, that how can they have such confidence when expressing their sadness on a Christian Union notice board when that expression of sadness is meta? How can, you know, anyone, young people or teachers, how can they have confidence in expressing their sadness on a Christian Union notice board when it's met with censorship and condemnation from school leadership? Because it was taken down, the school took it down. Why do you see this as censorship?
So the school's response, I think this is what's concerning, the kind of escalation. So there's a question about the wisdom of putting that on a notice board, and I'm happy to discuss that and have done that, whether that was a wise move or not. I think the letter then in response ramped things up significantly. It called for people to be suspended for disciplinary action. It said taking this down is not enough, we want more. And this letter was sent after the thing was down. So this was a real whip-it-up sort of letter. And then the school, then the headmaster described it as an horrendous error in judgment. Now, in the moment where we need to de-escalate, in the moment where we need to say, let's have space for good discussion, was this a good idea, was it not, how does it match with our school policies, that was the first statement that came out from the headmaster. And I've spoken to parents, and they're saying their pupils were told that into the school, and they didn't feel at that moment then welcomed as well. Where was the space? Now, you could say, we're looking at this. We could say we're reviewing it. We could say we're not sure this was wise. But to call it an horrendous error in judgment, does that mean the pupils who share that view are horrendous? Are they making an error in judgment? It was, in my view, a very unhealthy way to engage with young people who are supportive of this issue, which is going to be a significant number of people who are pro-life. And so this was the moment to de-escalate. And the school's policy talks about the need for confidence, self-esteem. And that's why I wrote that line. How can pupils have confidence when they feel their views and even their actions are being called an horrendous error in judgment? And so the school, in our view, should have separated the two issues, abortion and LGBT. It should have been much clearer about what the breach was and how they were going to respond. And it should have sought to de-escalate and create spaces for dialogue rather than kind of ramp things up with this kind of language. Horrendous is an extremely emotive phrase to put on this action, and I don't think it helped in the situation.
Do you think under any circumstances it was right for the teacher or the member of staff to put up the slogan, "The Darkest Day"?
We're waiting for some facts, firstly, but it's teacher doing that alone without they backing the CU. Now, we've spoken to parents who are saying
yes, but
children
is it appropriate? But is it appropriate for anyone other than a pupil may do something that a pupil could be chastised for? I'm asking you, would it ever be appropriate for a member of staff in any school to put up a slogan during this week that says "The Darkest Day" on the Christian Union notice board?
So I get why that's a valid question. And my response is, if the law was meant the other way, and if there was the LGBT notice board put up "Great Day for Equal Marriage" or hashtag "Laws Have Changed" or something celebrating that, that will be equally evocative to somebody else. So you've got a choice as a school. We're saying if one message is allowed, they both need to be allowed, and I'm good with that. But if no message is allowed, then none are allowed, and then there's no communication of these kind of messages. And that depends on a school's policy and on the ethos of the school. So if the school has an ethos and allows that kind of debate and allows teachers and others to be involved on all sides, I have no problem with that. If they say nobody can make any of those kind of messages, teachers or pupils of any type, they need to be consistent. And that's what we're calling for. You need the space to have freedom of expression as a child and as a teacher, but it needs to be fair to all sides to engage. And this has been whipped up unhealthily. And that's the main point we're making, is the school needs to create a safe space for all pupils and make sure that all pupils can freely express their views.
And just to be clear, if it had have said, or there was a notice on the notice board that said, "The darkest days are over, now we have equal marriage and rights for women to control their own bodies," if that had been on the notice board, you would have been accepting of that if it was alongside "The Darkest Day"?
Absolutely. I've consistent, and to be fair, you know, people who've read anything I've written, I've said that before. When Boojum did their burrito, I said that is their right as free speech. They said an insulting ad to Jesus, but I said at the same time they should expect pushback. I don't want to see free speech banned. I've consistently said that. I find that offensive. The burrito one, for example, it was mocking Jesus. But I've said, you do have the right to say that, but I likewise have the right to tell people that Jesus did in fact rise from the dead and radically change this world. So I want free speech for both sides. And I get that in an educational environment, that there are going to be different limits than in just the general public square. We're dealing with children from, 11 to 18. So we might need to be a little more cautious just what's done. But I totally agree. Both boards should have been there. And if it had been the first that you said, Frank, I bet you there'd have been no controversy. We wouldn't be having this conversation. And that's the closing down of the space so quickly. Queen's University has a petition right now asking for pro-life groups to be banned from the campus. It took 3 days from the passing of the bill, and suddenly we have a school, a secondary school, acting in this way and calling things horrendous. And we have a petition at Queen's to get pro-life groups removed from the campus. That's the shift in how quick it happens.
Okay, the opinions of Peter Linus from the Evangelical Alliance. I want to speak to Amanda Ferguson, who's been very clear on this programme in the past on the issue of women's rights. Amanda, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
The Evangelical Alliance, very clear there that they are saying if both messages had been up, they would have been accepting of both messages. A message that says it's the darkest day and another message that said it's anything but the darkest day.
Yes, so I heard there. I just wanted to start off by saying something that your contributor said there is factually inaccurate. The majority of people did want reform of our laws in Northern Ireland, and that's evidenced. It's evidenced by surveying, it's evidenced by polling, and it's evidenced by who they voted for. So to say that the majority of people weren't in favour of reform of our law just isn't correct.
Well, I think we could challenge you on that, Amanda, that the majority of people didn't call for abortion as it now is in Northern Ireland.
Well, we haven't established what the law exactly is going to be yet. That's what this consultation period is about now. The Life and Times survey showed that the majority of the adult population in Northern Ireland were in favour of reform of our abortion law, and also that the majority felt that that we were exporting our problem rather than dealing with it ourselves. So this consultation period that's taking place now will work out what the regime will be, what the restrictions will be. And everyone, as they should, has the right to feed in their views to that consultation. So I find myself agreeing with Peter on one matter. Freedom of expression is important. Yes, it's established in international human rights law, the right to freedom of expression. But it may be restricted in certain circumstances. With freedom of expression comes a responsibility that it doesn't damage others. And another thing that I would take issue with what Peter said was that the letter caused the problem. I think the poster initially caused the problem, and people were responding to that, because someone like Peter knows what darkest day means. He knows that it's linked to the pro-life movement, but not everybody does. For example, it was only yesterday that I found out what that was. So if you're a young person, a Dalriada people walking through the hallway and you see a big black poster board with the hashtag Darkest Day, are you to feel that that's about you? You know, the problem was the poster. It wasn't explicitly clear what it was about. And the school itself has already said it was a horrendous error of judgment. There's a platform in school environments whenever you're dealing with a diverse range of young people. And, you know, it's not adults you're dealing with. It's young people. It's people who are 11, 12, 13, right the way up to 18. So there is a platform, and there should be a platform for young people to be able to share their views. But, you know, I think the involvement of the teacher was a mistake, and the school itself has conceded that what happened shouldn't have happened.
Do you accept that a considerable number of people, including young people, do think that the passing of the legislation was passed on the darkest day?
Yes, I do. I do understand that that is some people's view, but, you know, to me, it's down to the individual what they do regarding abortion rights. What's right for you may not be right for someone else. It should be a decision that is between a woman and her doctor, and regarding if you're from the LGBT community, being gay is who you are, whereas religious belief is a choice. So there's been some interesting examples of this. Like in the last week, since the law has changed, anti-abortion demonstrators have picketed outside the SDLP's offices in South Belfast. Now, it is their right to object to the change in the law, but a number of people were in touch with me, particularly young mum, because they were the anti-abortion campaigners were displaying graphic images right by where a preschool and a school is, and the parents were, you know, felt that it was inappropriate that their children should be subjected to such graphic images at such a young age. You know, whenever you look at the different examples that there have been over the years, you know, for example, at Belfast Pride in the last few years, there was a young woman who had put a placard that said the F word on it, and then it said the DUP underneath it. Now, she has the right to express that view, as objectionable as it might be to the DUP, but the Belfast Pride organisers understood that they had a responsibility, so they removed that from their parade because they didn't feel that it should have been within their parade limitations. So that's where we talk about the limitations of free speech. And unfortunately for people like Peter and others, it's not my fault that so many people find the opinions that they're expressing objectionable, but I do defend their right to hold them.
Do you agree with the move at Queen's University to remove pro-life groups from campus? And I'm saying pro-life, you would very often describe them as anti-choice groups. Are you in favour of removing pro-life or anti-choice groups from campus at Queen's University?
I'm not across the detail of that specifically, but I wouldn't be in favour of limiting people's right to be able to express themselves, but I think that it has to be done in a responsible manner. I don't think it should be done in a way that traumatises and distresses other people, so I imagine that that could be what is at play here. But I think that, you know, universities aren't places where you're supposed to deplatform or shut down expression, but you have to be responsible in how you do it, depending on the circumstances. You know, think of another example in the last 24 hours. Celtic were playing Lazio last night, and there was a number of football fans walking through the centre of Glasgow doing Nazi salutes. Now, freedom of expression would tell you that that is their right to do what they want. You know, they did what they wanted and they walked through the town, but they can't. You're not allowed to incite religious hatred or racial hatred. You know, whenever you express yourself, it can't just be you can do or say or behave in a way, whatever you want, sort of carte blanche. There has to be nuance to it. And
But Amanda, is it not grossly unfair to people who would be pro-life or, as you would say, anti-choice, to use fans with Hitler salutes as the example in the comparison?
I'm not directly comparing the two. I'm talking about the limitations on how you express yourself. And as I said, we don't know the detail of what we have is what the claim has been made today, that they're trying to remove pro-life groups from the university campus. I would not be comfortable with a pro-life or anti-choice, whatever way people like to frame it, group being removed from a university space. They have the right to exist. They have the right to hold their views. They have the right to their beliefs. They have the right to object to the laws that passes. But I don't think that they have a right to traumatise people if that is what they're doing.
And Father Patrick McCafferty, one of the reasons that we're talking about this morning, saying in an interview in the Andersonstown News that MLAs who didn't block abortion, making reference, of course, to members of the Catholic community who are MLAs, they should not be attending Mass to receive communion. He said they are damning their souls. That is an actual quote from the paper. They are damning their souls. Speaking to the newspaper, the priest said it was a complete and utter contradiction to promote abortion and still consider oneself a practicing Catholic. Father McCafferty said it was impossible, in inverted commas, to take Holy Communion while supporting abortion. There is no way in which that can be justified or accepted, he added. And it goes on to say there's such a thing as automatic excommunication. Promoting abortion is just totally outside the faith. You cannot consider yourself a Catholic in good standing. You should have the honesty and integrity not to present yourself for Holy Communion. That's his message to the MLAs, particularly those who we would be thinking of who are in Sinn Féin or the SDLP. There may be others as well.
Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting that given the damage that the churches in Northern Ireland have caused over the years, that they could be so vocal on wanting people to not turn up on a Sunday, considering most churches find it difficult to get people to go to Mass or to go to church. But what I would say on that is that the suggestion that the law that changed on Monday could have been stopped by what happened in Stormont, it just isn't true. You know, it was left to the last day as a final sort of last ditch effort to be seen to be doing something or to be seen to be able to say, you know, we fought until the last moment. But what was actually on the table and what was being presented wasn't going to change the law in any way. It was a sort of a going through the motions exercise, in my view. And I think that it's unfair to political parties that have people within them that have the view of these issues on a conscience level. You know, I may not necessarily agree with someone who takes a sort of anti position. I defend their right to have it. But I don't think that, you know, I don't think that it's a case that the SDLP or Sinn Féin have failed the people in what has happened. You know, making abortion illegal doesn't stop it from happening. It just means you move it to another jurisdiction. So it means what you're saying is that you acknowledge that it will continue, but and you're comfortable with the idea that it traumatizes women in the process. So, you know, travelling has happened for years. Women from here have been bundled off on ferries or cheap flights to have to deal with this issue themselves. And I'm not given, an individual view on what I would do in any circumstances, but I just don't feel that it's my right to choose for other people. I think that it's an individual's choice on these matters, which is why some of the more extreme religious lobbying on this is quite distressing, because if you take a position that you don't feel that you want, that you think that same-sex marriage is appropriate, or you don't believe in women having bodily autonomy, then the simple answer to that is don't marry someone of the same sex and don't have a termination. Like, with that, I don't think that it's anybody else's business.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you to Peter Linus from the Evangelical Alliance. Thank you to Amanda Ferguson for their commentary this morning. What do you think? Are you a Catholic, and would you object if you saw an MLA going for communion on Sunday morning, or any other day of the week, but on Sunday morning, and they hadn't made an effort to block abortion? Would you stand up in the pew and say, Mr. MLA or Ms. MLA, please, Father McCafferty says no communion for you. Get back to your seat. Or would you object to them actually coming in the door before they even arrived into the mass? What is your opinion on that? Or is the priest simply shooting from the lip, so to speak? 0289 033 105 is the number to get us on. 0289 033 105 and 077 66 105 105.